Hello, I'm Alice Arnold. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week, my guest is Anita Dobson. She is about to go into the musical Annie, playing Miss Hannigan, and she'll be talking all about that and also how she feels about the Oscar nominations for the film Bohemian Rhapsody, all about Queen, which, of course, her husband Brian May was in. First thing I will do is offer you a little cake.
Look at that.
Well, you munch through that. Mm. Well, actually, I'll
wait. You've got me interested.
Good. Just in case you weren't aware, dear listeners, I'm sitting with Anita Dobson, I've got her interested with cake, which was my first thing, because when people are, you know, constantly promoting a show that they're about to do or whatever, I'm sure it can get really boring. And we don't like to ask the same questions again and again and again. So I'll try and ask you some different ones. I'm going to start with a little quiz for you, Anita.
Oh, no, I'm terrible at quizzes.
Well, it's very personal to you, this quiz. This might work, it might not. I'm going to sing a song. See if you remember this song and where it's from. There is love and there is love. Our love is the kind that goes on forever, hundreds of years. Even more, if we both box clever, you can love. I was singing that to you because I think I'm probably one of the few people in the world who knows it.
Aww.
But Budgie, yes.
I remember it.
I can't
remember
a lovely
when that
show was.
To
I
do.
Saw it when it, was, it came
oh God,
out.
It was just after I did I came out of EastEnders.
Right.
So it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I must have seen it in...
We did it in the West End.
Yeah. But I remember that song and I always loved that song. I still sing it to myself now.
It's sweet and I can hear
really
Adam
sweet.
Singing it. Yeah,
yeah
bless
yeah,
him.
It was really sweet. Anyway, you're not here to talk about Budgie. We're here to talk about Annie because you're off to play Miss Hannigan in Annie. But before we talk about Annie, you trained at the Webber Douglas.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah. My mother trained at the Webber Douglas, but a long time before you. But she was Joss Ackland's era and all of that. It was a long, long time ago. And when she was there, it was sort of like a finishing school. Because also it was during the war and there weren't any men. Well, if there were men, they had two left feet. Things.
A finishing school.
Well, she said that's what it was like. But I suppose it wasn't like that when you were there.
No, finish me off.
It didn't finish you off. But do you think training has... How do you think it's changed when you work with young actors now?
Well, I think you have to make a choice. I mean, it's not necessary to train to go into show business. It's advisable. But sometimes it's a necessary thing to do. For me, coming from the East End, I had a voice that would cut cheese because it was so sharp and so sort of cockney, you know. So I needed to go somewhere to just kind of find my sea legs, if you like. And... I lived in Stepney, but the drama school was in kind of South Kensington. So you couldn't have got more different if you tried. So I'd go up to South Kensington and I'd talk terribly nicely, eventually after about a year. And then I'd go home and talk like that. So it was quite nice to have sort of two parts of me, both of them being fed. And I had a brilliant voice teacher called Miss Moriarty. And she used to say to me, darling, you can't walk around with that voice. It's dreadful. She said, but don't lose your roots. That's what will stand you in good stead for casting. But we need to drop that voice, sweetheart. So for a year, I walked around saying, hello, darling. How are you? My mum would say, what are you talking like that for? But it was a really useful tool. It kind of taught me that I can have my real voice, which is native to me, and also have a voice where you can talk like you do on radio so people can understand what you're talking about.
That's interesting because I think 20 years before that, they would have said, lose your roots.
Yes,
They would have said, we don't want any of that. Everyone's got to come out speaking exactly the same and it's going to be received.
And then it went full circle and everybody had to speak with a kind of dialect, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, you've been treading the boards for...
A long time.
A long time. Shall we just say...
I can't think. Let me see. I started... My first job when I left drama school was about 23. So that's about... 43 years or something, 46 years. 46 years,
That's
coming up for 50 years. It's a long time.
But the big break, I mean, we have to talk about it, I guess, was Angie Watts in EastEnders and opposite Leslie Grantham's Dirty Den. Now, in those days, there were only, three or four There were four, probably Channel 4 had started by then, hadn't it?
I think so, yes.
So four television channels, but we didn't have anything like the options that we have now. So the peak viewing figures was over 30 million for EastEnders. So that must, your recognition just went rocketing through the roof. How did you deal with that sort of sudden, everybody knew who you were?
Well, it was a bit like before EastEnders was my break, if you like. And before that, I was just a jobbing actress. So I went from naught to 100 overnight, from being somebody who's just earning a living, barely actually, before I was, just about, paying my rent and whatever. And then to the person who's on the front page of the newspaper nearly every other day. It was extraordinary. There is no formula for dealing with things because everybody's life is different and things that happen to people are different. So you have to do the best you can. So that's what I did. I just got through it the best I could. But my mother always said to me, she said that it had given her something that she'd always wanted to do, something she'd always dreamed of doing. She said, when the press come round, I stuck my foot in the door and I just said, no comment, no comment. And that made her very happy. So it had its good side.
Because some people, I think, enjoy it and kind of relish that. And some people really don't like it. Where would you put yourself on that scale, do you think?
Well, I think you have to own your life. And if you go through life kind of hating things, then you shouldn't be doing them. And so for me, it was a shock. Of course, it was a shock to my system, getting followed home, having people singing outside your front door, being followed home by the press, people photographing you everywhere you went. I couldn't go into a pub at all for years. But it was exciting. And it was my life and it was a wonderful journey. So yeah, I'm glad it happened. It made me who I am now, and I quite like who I am now. So, yeah, I look back on it and think, that was me. That's extraordinary. A kid from Stepney did that journey, and I'm here now.
And it was so huge. I mean, just remembering that time, it was, as I say, there were fewer channels to, I don't think anyone achieves that sort of stardom in soaps nowadays. I mean, they still achieve stardom, but not like that, and not with the press attention.
Well, it's ratings, isn't it? Because nowadays, if you don't get the ratings straight away, you're off air. Whereas in the old days, they used to let it have time to bed in, like with Only Fools and Horses and things like that. So it got a sort of fighting chance, and then look what happened to Only Fools and Horses. It ran for ages. So I think things have changed a lot. I mean, it's the turnover's quicker, the money's important.
So you always liked music and singing, and then you had a hit with the theme song, really, from EastEnders, which was Anyone Can Fall in Love. And you did fall in love, didn't you?
I did. We did the record with Simon May, knocked it out, I think, in 2 weeks. He was lovely. And then I met Brian during the course of the latter 2 years before I left. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you were with Brian for a long time before you got married, though, weren't you?
We've been together overall 32 years and we've been married 18. It was a long engagement. Of course, he had to get divorced as well, first of all.
So, right. Yeah.
But it's interesting you're talking about the singing because I really never, ever thought about singing, ever. When I went to drama school, I wanted to be a serious actress. That's what I wanted to do. And I had no understanding of music at all because when I was a kid, you had to pay to have music lessons and we didn't have any money. So therefore, I didn't have any singing lessons or music at all. And when I was at drama school, somebody said to me, you do know that they're auditioning for some people that can have singing lessons. So I said, oh, all right then. So I went along. So I got a singing lesson. I think it was once a week or something like that, So I kind of got a little understanding and started to sort of, and I like singing. My mum used to sing. And the first musical I got when I left drama school, the guy said to me, he said, Anita, are you happy with the key that song's in? And I said, yeah, why? It was the first thing I'd ever sung. It was a beautiful song. And he said, well, we could drop it just a semitone. What do you think? And I went, I had no clue what he was saying. So I said, okay, we'll try, shall we? So we did. And he said, how does that feel? I said, that feels great. He said, good. He said, you can always ask. He said, anything you want, just ask me. I said, really? I thought if you could sing it, then you got the job. And if you couldn't, then that was the end of it. There's no asking, like, can it go up? Can it go down? So I knew nothing. And Brian, of course, is like a maestro for music. So he's ended up with me. He's like a bit of a dip brain.
Have you learnt from him, though?
No, not at all.
No,
because I've been too busy.
Okay.
And it's too late to suddenly learn how to write music and play. I have no understanding of musical instruments at all. But I do love music, so I have to learn by ear.
Right. But obviously you're going to be singing now in Annie.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it singing, but
no,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be music playing and you'll be doing a big number. So what made you want to do the role of Miss Hannigan?
Because it's one of those iconic roles you can't say no to. It's like somebody ringing you up and saying, do you want to play Queen Margaret, you know, in Richard III? What are you going to say? No, of course not. And this is the same.
Because you've done Gertrude in Hamlet and you've done Mama Morton in Chicago. I mean, you've done a huge range of stuff, haven't you? What about working with the children?
With children lots, work with dogs a lot. And I know there used to be this strange kind of myth in the business that you'd never work with children and animals. I couldn't think of anything more opposite. They are the best to work with. They tell you the absolute truth. If you're funny, they'll laugh. If you're not, they'll just look at you blankly. And animals respond fantastically. I mean, the dog in EastEnders, Rowley, was wonderful. You know, you say action, he was there. You'd say cut, down he'd sit and his ear to go down and he'd wait until you called action again. He was brilliant. And the dog in this is wonderful. And the children are, well, all I can say is it fills my heart with joy every day to just be surrounded by them all. It's wonderful.
Oh,
I feel very
lovely.
Lucky.
Yeah. Those, of course, are dogs that are trained, unlike some of our dogs that perhaps wouldn't respond in quite the same way.
Yeah, and this dog's done this show before, unlike
me. Oh, I see. Oh, no. Knows the lines already
this
then.
Dog.
It's a tour. You're off on tour. How do you cope with being away from home? Are you good at that?
Well, I haven't done a tour for quite a long time.
Right.
And it was only because I thought you can't look back in your career and think, really? Did I turn down playing Miss Hannigan? I don't think so. So that was the reason I said yes. But touring is not, I don't think it's most people's favourite. When you're young, it's wonderful. No responsibilities. You just want to go out there, have fun, meet lots of young people, you know. As you get older, you've got a home, you've got kids, you've got pets, you've got, you know, responsibilities. So of course you don't want to be away in too long. And also you've got a house that you've taken years to get the way you want. You want to be in it. Mm-hmm. So it is hard being away, but sometimes you just have to do it if the part's right.
And what do you do when you're, well, you haven't done it for a while, but have you got any plans of how you're going to fill those days? Because I know that can be difficult. You're sort of in a strange town and you're not doing anything till the evening. And
Sleeping.
Are you good?
And resting.
Are you a good sleeper?
Well, I think with a show like this, if you give any show, if you do anything, 100%, you need to rest. You can't go out, not at my age anyway, you can't go out having a good time of a night. It's just not on. So I will be resting.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading? Do you do reading?
Yeah, I might do a bit of reading. You know, I've got loads of stuff I need to catch up on. You know, lots of things that I need to do and think about for after Annie, you know, for the rest of the year. So I've got loads I can
do. So you'll be busy. Yeah. Do you like to sort of do things to keep yourself healthy?
I'm the lazy. There's a song written by Cole Porter, which I use a lot for auditioning. It's called The Laziest Girl in Town. It couldn't be more apt for me. I never go to the gym.
So you won't be down the gym? No. Okay. No. Right. Won't be doing that.
No. I am active. I mean, I'm very, we've got a lot of steps in our house and I'm sort of up and down the whole time, always out doing things, shopping. I do everything myself. You know, I like to do things myself. So, I'm and I love our warm-ups in work, you know, and the physical ones and the vocal ones. So, I'm up for it. I'm really up for it. And there's 8 shows a week. So, really, if you arrive on a Monday and you're leaving on a Saturday and you've got 2 matinees a week, there's not that many days where you're going to be hanging around. So,
no.
I'm going to take the time to... Also, I know a lady in Manchester who does Reiki, Tanya, if you're listening. So I'm going to take advantage of seeing her.
Because that's where you start, isn't it, I think?
Yes.
You start in Manchester, don't you?
Now,
we've got to talk just touching on the film Bohemian Rhapsody, which is obviously being up for all these awards now. What was it like watching Brian being played by Gwilym Lee? How was it?
I think Gwil was wonderful playing Brian. He got all his mannerisms and he does have a look like Brian. He's tall, dark hair. He's got that sort of aquiline nose. He's very thoughtful, you know. He's clever. So I think it was brilliant casting. But he got him down to a T. And they're great friends. I mean,
oh, are they?
Brian really loves him, yeah. And I went onto the set quite early on in filming. And Gwil was standing dressed as Brian, next to Brian, as Brian. And it was like, whoa, before and after.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, it's exciting. You'll be going off to all these award ceremonies, presumably.
Well, some, of course, I won't be able to go to because
you'll be
of
on
working.
Tour.
I will get to the BAFTAs because it's on a Sunday, and there's a possibility I may get to the Oscars.
That would be exciting. You know what? Will you get a goodie bag, do you think?
I have no
Oscars
idea.
Oscars are famous for their goodie
really?
Bags.
Really? Is that all you're thinking about, the goodie bag?
Yes.
I love
yes,
it.
And the BAFTAs, actually. But the Oscars are something else. I mean, I think they're literally worth thousands of dollars.
Oh, my God,
bags.
Really?
Yes. They
God.
Give you all the, like, you know, iPhones and sunglasses and shoes and jewellery
wow.
and all sorts jewelry, of stuff.
Lord.
They give you everything.
Don't you love, though, the fact that Richard E. Grant, who is 61, nearly 62, and has never been nominated for anything, has been nominated for
I know,
for
and
Oscar.
He's so pleased about
he's
it.
He's so happy.
And he's not being all cool about it. He's like, yes,
I know, it's
I've been
wonderful.
Nominated. It's a great
I'm
film.
So
have
happy
you seen
for
it?
No, not
seen
yet,
it?
No.
Oh, it's really good. The other one I'm thrilled about is Olivia Colman.
Oh, she's gorgeous. I've worked with Olivia. She's divine.
To get an Oscar. You were talking about looking ahead and what might happen after Annie. So have you got plans after Annie?
I've got some offers have come in, so I need to really think about those, really. I'm not quite sure. I can't really think about what I want to do next. I'm just completely suffused with Annie, you know, the songs, the people, the story, the fact that we're touring. I mean, I'm loving it at the moment, so I don't really want to think about anything else. But there are, at some point, some decisions I will have to make, yeah. But that's all nice, you know, that people are asking for you.
Well, you can pick and choose, can't you?
Yeah.
Do what you want now.
Yeah. I cannot work if I want
to. Yes. Yes, you can sit at home and sleep.
Or
Are there any roles that... Is there a role that you haven't done yet that you would really love to do?
Well, I've never really been the sort of actress that's always thought, I'd like to do my version of, you know. But if I could leave something behind... You know the film Rebecca? Mrs. Danvers... Everybody knows Mrs. Danvers in Rebecca. I mean, it's one of those kind of parts that you just, yes, you know, that woman. I'd love to do something like that. A really nice little part in a film that will live on.
Well, it's probably time for a remake. When did they last
do No, something new. A new story.
Oh, I see. Not...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Rebecca, but
oh.
something like that, the equivalent of that.
A
part where people, you know, you said, have you ever seen Rebecca, Laurence Olivier? And people go, oh, yeah, Mrs. Danvers.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to sort of a role like that you leave behind.
That you kind of make your impression.
Everybody remembers it. Everybody knows it. Is there a musical? Or, I mean, you say you like singing. Have you? Is there a sort of song that you've always thought, gosh, I wish I could have a chance to sing that one?
No, not really. No, not really. No. I've never considered myself a singer or a dancer. I mean, I never trained as a dancer. And as I say, singing lessons was something that really weren't available until incredibly late in life. I have the kind of energy and personality that suits musicals. I mean, I'm that kind of person that, you know, that gives out a lot of adrenaline. So I think that's why it's happened. And I learn quick and I like moving. It's usually, I don't kind of hanker after things. Offers come in, and if the script's great, and if the part's wonderful, or it's something exciting that I hadn't thought of, great, I'll do it. If not, I'll just say no. That's the only way I work now. I mean, when you're younger, you think, oh, God, I'd love to play that. The only part I did think, I remember I saw Wicked when it first opened many, many years ago. Well, it's 11 years now, isn't it? And I remember thinking, oh, my God, that's so me in my head, you know. And I remember I turned around to Brian and he said, that's the sort of thing you do. Why aren't you still be doing something like that? So when they asked me to do the 10-year anniversary, I jumped at the chance because I have to tick that bucket list. It's on the bucket list. I have to tick that box.
It's great when those things come along, isn't it? It's great if you see something and watch it and think, I'd love to do that. And then the chance does come up and you go, yeah, perfect.
And I loved it. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. It was lovely to be. It was very different to anything I'd done because obviously an American show. So it's all done nowadays by numbers, although we have numbers too in our show in Annie. So I was okay with that because I'd done it before in Wicked. Yep. But I never land on the right number. I'm terrible.
Right.
I mean, one of those actresses that just likes to live it. When you're living it, of course, you're not kind of watching where the numbers are. So I was constantly being told in Wicked, you know, are you on six, Anita? Yeah. No, sorry.
But presumably there's a little bit more flexibility for Miss Hannigan, isn't there, for you?
For Miss Hannigan there is a little, but not in the dancing. No, you have to, because your spacing has to be. But yes, as an actress, you've got my... I think that's probably why, because I've never trained, so I don't have that kind of... that way of thinking. I'm not trained that way. My way is you live it. You inhabit the character and you let her take over.
And bring to it what you want to bring to it.
And keep it fluid.
This person brought to it before.
Yeah.
Well, let me go. Manchester, 2nd of February. Mm. That's when you start. You're going all around the country. Then Craig Revel Horwood takes over from you. Because obviously
that's obvious, isn't it?
I need to go up to Dobson, can't do it. We'll have Craig in. But he's done it before.
Yes, he has. And strangely enough, we both did Wicked Stepmother in our various pantomimes at Christmas. So we're kind of following each other around.
You're becoming a double act. Yeah, right.
We're morphing into each other. Yeah.
How funny. Anyway, it's going all over the country. So there's somewhere near... all our listeners who will be able to find out where it is.
Of course, it's a year tour, so the others will be doing a lot of places.
Is there anywhere you're particularly looking forward to going to? Have you looked at the list?
Of course, I know it backwards.
Okay.
I don't know, really. I mean, I've never been to Chester. I've been I've played Manchester and Wolverhampton before, the last time I did a big tour. And I've just done Hull, so I've been there. I love Glasgow. I've played Newcastle. Where else? Bristol, I've played Bristol. So a lot of the places I've been before, Oxford, been there, but never played Chester. So that's the only one, I think, on the list that I've actually never played.
I've never been to Chester, but I think it's meant to be, it's a really historic town, Chester.
Apparently it's beautiful because my best friend's coming up there
I think that would be really nice. Yeah, I can't believe you actually do know all the places you're playing. That's very efficient of you. Well, good luck with
it. Thank you so much.
I won't probably see it because it's...
You'll be here.
Up there and I'll be down here. But all the very best
Thanks so much.
And I know you'll make a wonderful Miss Hannigan.
Well, I shall do my best.
And thank you very much for coming in and talking.
Thank you.
And
thank you for my cake.
You can finish your cake now. That was Anita Dobson, and if you enjoyed that podcast and you'd like to hear more, well, we have podcasts every week for the new season. Do feel free to rate the podcast. Do feel free to subscribe to the podcast so that you get it regularly. I don't know, review it. Tell us that you liked it. We'd love to hear from you.